This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So, about that. All right, you are indeed in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Salute to the fellas. A salute to D&M Auto Leasing for letting us talk to the fellas. No. Don't be mad. I want to thank D&M. I thought you hit it anyways. I just like thanking D&M Auto Leasing.
Hit it once. I didn't hit it a second time.
That's not what she said. Anyways, as we continue, let's get going on a Friday. How are we feeling? Let's just do that. 713-572-4610. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. What up, Jim? I hope you're doing well as well. Also, appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams that we have on video, both on the Twitch page, 610 Houston, and also on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610. How are we feeling? There's already a question sitting here looking at me that says, from the 832, question, should the Texans host a first-round draft party next year?
Oh, we'll get to that, too.
That was actually going to be one of my confessions.
Me, too.
Man.
We'll have similar ones. Yeah. And we get some rationalization already. So how good is the 26 class?
That is a question worth asking just generally anyways. But, yeah, like, how are we feeling? The Texans had been slated to have the 25th pick. I think we were having all sorts of conversations down to the wire of, do you go wide receiver? Mm-hmm. Do you go offensive lineman? What's more important for what this offense needs right now? Do you even slide in here and get an impactful interior defensive lineman to really push this defense to a place where they feel entirely untouchable? Like, what are the things that make the most sense? And we had a nice group, I think, of players that you went into the day saying, I kind of like these guys. These guys feel like the ones. And all through the night, I felt like I was being bloodlet, where it was just slowly losing. As is the draft. Like, that is actually what the draft is slowly losing guys that you think that you like until you get to a point where you draft one of the ones that hopefully you like. Yeah. Except you didn't do that. You eventually did the thing that, honestly, in the moment was frustrating because, you know, you had the build up. You had the natural kind of blue balls building, if you want to put it in those terms. And then you didn't get your release.
Yeah, look, here's where I would put it. You can rationalize. You can, you know, see the cup half full today. You can sleep on it as you did and feel a little better.
Uh-oh, what you're setting up to.
If you're not frustrated, if you weren't frustrated, you're lying. If you don't say you were frustrated, you're lying. Everything.
I'm fine with how it played out.
There's some rationalization right there from our guy Figgy Fig.
Trade back and get more picks.
There's no way.
More darts, man. These are all lottery picks, baby. More of them.
And we'll get to that.
They can clean up in the second round.
If you're saying you weren't frustrated last night, you are lying to yourself.
Well, I can't even say that because y'all were with me. Y'all were with me in the moment.
Oh, that's true. We saw it.
Y'all were with me in the moment.
Here's another analogy. You used one, the bloodletting, the slow bloodletting.
Which I don't know why that's where my brain
That's
went.
Fine. My analogy that I would use is, have you ever seen one of those kids' bouncy? Of course you have. Those kids' bouncy houses.
Oh, I love a good bouncy house.
When you unplug it. And it just slowly starts contracting and contracting and less and less. And you really want to get back in there and bounce around some more, but then you can't. And it just keeps slowly deflating and deflating. That's what it was. That's what it was, if we're being honest. Now, we're going to get to the cup half full. We're going to get to all the things that and the possibilities now. But last night, let me go through some of these for you guys, just to refresh your memory, not to pick at you.
Can I put this as a question? Because it seems like we've got people answering the question that we were thinking about anyways from the 832. I hate the Packers. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, what was the most frustrating part of it to you? If we are going to go ahead and acquiesce to the idea that it was frustrating to some degree, I do think that there's ways that you can still view this absolutely as a place where you go, the draft goes as the draft goes. It is what it is. And then you need to be able to be malleable and work with it, as Nick Caseri will talk about. But there were still things that were inherently frustrating within this. What were those for you? And I feel like that's largely what you're going to lay out here in the way that the first round played out.
It started with the first two picks.
Really? So the idea that there was a trade in there. So, yeah, that was interesting. And we'll talk more about that as we go. But the Magnificent Gladstone, before we got out to the draft party, myself and Lopez, we rode out together. And I was kind of updating you about Mary Kay Cabot of she works in Cleveland and she covers
legendary.
The Browns.
Cleveland.com.
Very, very good at what she
does. AKA the plane dealer.
Yeah, that's right. A very, very good reporter, and she's very tapped in. She made it clear that, hey, the Browns seem to have something in the tuck, right? Yeah, something. Yeah. And similarly, I think the Jags, like their in-house media, had an interview with the Magnificent Gladstone where he promised fireworks. Yeah. And I was like, if we put two and two together, it looks like four says that you're going to have to face Travis Hunter twice a year. And I was like, okay, but it's not explicit. And then we did see that trade where you're going to have to face Travis Hunter twice a year.
Yeah, and that was the first frustration. We're like, ooh, because you guys, everybody knows this, and I've been saying it over the top. I think he's fantastic, and we'll get to him specifically later. That's one. And then offensive lineman comes off the board. Another offensive lineman comes off the
board. Wait, which ones are you talking about?
Just go down the list.
So another. Will Campbell, which that was expected.
Another. You know, that was another frustrating part. All these old linemen that we talked about and we're kind of hoping for started coming up. That's another frustration.
All right, so the frustration offensively, there's clearly two offensive linemen that I think were the most frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's because they had been associated so heavily with the Texans. And shout out to Daniel Jeremiah, who kind of talked about these guys being like very closely tied to the Texans. One of them is Kelvin Banks Jr., who goes 9 to the Saints in a way that I just did not anticipate there. Like, I think with the reporting that had started coming in closer and closer to the draft, understanding that as insiders get more insight closer to the draft, we get more of what seems like will actually be the case. Mm-hmm. And when we were seeing Kelvin Banks going 6th or what have you, I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
The idea of the dream at 25 for him in particular is not going to be there. But I never would have guessed that it would be the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
I thought that was one of those places. And really, I think to express myself more clearly, the thing about that is you see some places where you go, I don't have to worry about them taking one of my quote-unquote guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The guys that I think are in the pool of players that I would want at my selection or near my selection. And the Saints did not seem like one of those places where I thought an offensive lineman will go. Boom, you take an offensive lineman, and not that. One of the ones that's on a priority list for me personally with this Texas team, and I went, oh, I tugged at my collar.
Yeah.
The second one was seeing Tyler Booker go to the Cowboys.
Tyler Booker goes.
Like, that was the thing that got me, because specifically I knew the Cowboys wanted Teteroa McMillan as a wide receiver. And I had heard rumors that if they didn't get that, they'd trade back, understanding that maybe trading back wasn't that easy.
Yeah.
I knew that Booker was a guy that they liked. For some reason in my brain, I didn't get to the idea that they would take one of the guys that you like.
Yeah.
And once you have that, we are officially in a quote-unquote run.
Frustrating mode. Yeah. And then, hey, Gray Zabel might drop to the Texans. Nope. Gray Zabel goes 18 to Seattle. And so there's another offensive lineman that goes off the board. Oh, I know. Hey, we're getting close to the Texans pick. One pick before the Texans traded out. There goes Donovan Jackson. So that's the other frustrator. There's two right there. Then we're like, okay, well, what about wide receiver then?
Yeah, that was the one. As we started getting closer.
Hey, Matthew Golden's dropping.
It felt like that was in play.
Yeah.
It felt very much like, and I know that, it's funny because I know that I've been on these airwaves, and yes, 832, when they talk about the Saints, the Saints did have Ryan Ramczyk just retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe Kelvin Banks steps in as his replacement at right tackle. But I have been very, very high as a proponent of offensive line, to try and make sure that this offensive line is better, not just in this year, but in the coming years, building back an offensive line. But I understand and I recognize what Matthew Golden is as a player, and as he started, quote unquote, falling, because it's always a weird thing
though,
to view it
by
that way.
Mocks and such.
Yeah, but mocks aren't ultimately what the actual value is. But as he is still on the board, getting later and later, I'm like, okay. I am willing, especially with the way that this draft is falling, where offensive linemen are going and maybe some of the ones that are more palatable in this particular bucket of players early on are not necessarily there. You could very easily convince me on a Matthew Golden, a receiver that has a lot of versatility. He has the speed capable of kind of taking the top off a defense that I know people wanted. That's a weapon that, and then for the bleeping Green Bay Packers to take him. Two picks before you.
They hadn't taken one since 02.
Who don't take first round wide receiver. That's the one.
They wasn't doing that with Aaron Rodgers.
They ticked off Aaron Rodgers behind not selecting wide receivers in the first round. And now.
Now y'all want to have a change of heart.
Now. y'all showing out for the public because y'all hosting now? Yeah. Y'all had That's people exactly at the house and y'all wanted to show out? Is that what happened
here? You see all that sauce they put into that selection?
Oh, my gosh. It took 10 minutes. It took 10 minutes to get the. So, like, frustration with the what the division's doing, frustration with the linemen, frustration with the wide receivers, frustration with what you just described. Two picks. The Texans are going to have to get either Golden or Jackson, right? No, the two picks before those guys were gone. And then just the general frustration of building up and all these things we're talking about and all these mocks and all the things the Texans can do. And, oh, Nick Caserio loves to trade up and all that. And then you don't even get a pick. Like, everybody was all dressed up at the party and the band didn't show up. You know?
No, the mariachis were there.
The mariachis were there and they make everything better. But that's
– You got some second-round picks, though. You got a second round pick? What you talking about?
Yeah, and third we'll get round there. Pick. We can turn that into okay. Maybe we're cooking a little bit. The frustration is undeniable.
Yeah, and I guess an additional frustration that was entirely different was just like being at the draft party and having all this happen and like the anxiety that you were building up to, and then literally they rained on your parade.
It rains.
It literally rained on your parade. It was such a weird experience being out there, and literally it rained, and I'm jumping into the situation where I'm trying to help the fellas that are conducting the draft coverage that you heard here on Sports Radio 610, helping them get inside, out of the rain, get the equipment, and it's like it took me away from stuff. So some of this stuff is also filtered through the lens of, you know, I'm carrying equipment and then finding out that, Kelvin Banks Jr. is gone that one was a little bit later, but finding out that Tyler Booker's being taken or what have you, all of those types of things was very, very weird. But it is worth asking, like, especially as you see the offensive lineman go, you see Matthew Golden go, do you feel like the Texans and Nick Caserio should have been more aggressive in the way that you, I mean, we've detailed and we've talked about, and I was honestly maybe overwrought at this point about his history being aggressive trading up. Do you feel like they should have been more aggressive?
I think they were. I do feel like they should have been more aggressive because we just laid out all the players that were not taken that could have been Texans that we kind of had earmarked as future Texans potentially. So and then he said it. He said we. Literally, he said, we talked to the whole league.
Yes.
We talked to the whole league. So here's the second part to your question. And I don't mean this necessarily in a bad way, because sometimes this happens. The deal is not what you think it is as the general manager of an NFL team. Did he blink? Did he blink a little bit? Should he have maybe, made one of these deals if it wasn't completely outrageous? We don't know what it was.
Well, but that's the thing is, I mean, even just seeing that first pick or first trade, because there's a few trades that maybe give you a level of an idea as to what the cost,
what the market is,
would have been for certain levels to move up. Mm-hmm. And we saw, a next year first round pick go in going for what could be a generational player in Travis Hunter in that selection, or the pick, or the trade rather, is what I'm looking for, between the Jaguars and the Browns. Moving up three picks, you see a swap for a second and a third, basically, and then a first round pick going in there as well. I'm mixing up drafts, or rather trades.
Yeah.
You saw a first-round pick get included in that, which it felt like quarterback-type pay in order to move up there. And that made me wonder.
It was a first-round pick for next year and a second this year.
That's right. Yeah. And I do wonder, like, does that mean that it was kind of exorbitant pay and cost to move up? And do you want Caserio pushing outside of his comfort zone or outside of what is deemed reasonable value in order to move up for a player? Whether it's Golden or whether it's, I guess, Donovan Jackson would have still been in some level of range, assuming that that is a player that they liked, because I don't know what their board is or what have you. Like, would you have liked even a relatively small move up to, like, maybe 21
where the Steelers were or something like that? The other thing he said in his press conference was specifically he mentioned teams in the teens, which would have been, some you'd have to give something up, but maybe not as much. And that's why I'm wondering, like, in his mind, it was the right thing to do, or else he wouldn't have done it.
Correct.
But he's made these moves in the past, and did he kind of should he have maybe, you know, bit the bullet and gone ahead and gotten the guy he wants? Because now that this is the other part of this. You know, the lineman pool is very, very thin. It's more, you know, 60 to 70 range, and we'll get to that. The wide receiver pool, Luther Burden is out there, but outside of that, there's not a lot of wide receivers that are in the sweet spot of 34 where they pick now. By the way, we didn't give the terms of that trade, but they got now they have 2 second rounders, 2 third rounders.
That was the Browns trade that happened even before, I was talking to a friend and I was like, you know what this feels like? It feels like Nick Caserio went to the corner store and got changed for a five because that trade saw the Texans trade, and let me make sure I get these details right. They traded a couple of fifth round picks. This year's pick, 166 overall, and 2027's fifth round pick. So not next year, 2 years from now, for 170, pick 179, which is in the sixth round, pick 216, which is also in the sixth round, and then a seventh rounder seventh rounder this year. In fact, they added a whole bunch of like late round, super, super late round day three picks. And I was like, I don't know that those were going to factor in on day one, but what I think that does, if you're going to use the word cope or what have you, I think that he has more and more ammo to move around in these mid rounds, and makes me think that we're in for some real fireworks today, even though we did not have anything of fireworks worthy on day one.
And just the ones that matter the most, they now have today picks number 34, 58, 79, 89, and 99. So, you know, good stuff. And we'll get to what, you know, the what now aspect of this soon.
Yeah, and I do think that there's still some offensive linemen in here, but it does feel like if we're talking about tiers, if we're talking about buckets, you kind of missed out on that first bucket, and sometimes that is how the draft falls. I thought Nick Caserio did make a reasonable decision based off of the way that the draft fell. But let's dig into that more, man. We got all day to cover that, to talk about what's next for the Texans. Hell, the Rockets got a basketball game tomorrow. Let's get going in the loop. Coming up next, let's talk more about it. And let's actually hear from Nick Caserio. What did Nick Caserio have to say after day one of the NFL draft? We'll do that next in the loop. All right. We're all still reacting to, we reacted to the first round of the NFL draft, in which
I've been reacting ever since it happened. So yeah. I'm still reacting.
In which a lot of the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, and all other things that the Texans were interested in kind of seemed to go when the Texans ultimately decided to trade back, trading their 25th pick for 34 and some others in order to allow the Giants to go up and select Jackson Dart, interestingly enough. We'll have to talk about talk about that around the NFL.
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation. Also, and I thought this was a fair point coming in on the text line, the Jim Allen, the text hammer text line, saying, talking about the Texans, what they were able to recruit versus the, you know, pretty large trade haul that the Rams were able to get one pick behind them for the Falcons to come up and get a not quarterback compared. So, that was very interesting to see. That happened.
If I was Nick Caserio, I would have been Atlanta.
Hey.
Y'all ain't hit me up. What's up?
Especially, I mean, Nick Caserio talked a lot about the various, like, the due diligence that they did. And, I mean, we know through various different reports that a lot of, I mean, as early as 2 and 3, we're talking about trades. And, you know, all the way through, it seemed like there was a lot of teams that were discussing trades, even though we came into today with, you know, every team controlling their own pick. It seemed like there was a lot of conversation about moving and shaking. There was four trades, if memory serves me correctly. In fact, let's go to Nick Caserio. Actually, can you give me cut three? I know that I didn't ask this for this one, but I do want to ask. That's my bad. That's my bad. But in the moment, I realized, because it's a very good question to Nick Caserio. He was obviously talking after the first round to kind of give his thoughts and his experiences and processes on how this fell. He was asked, at what point did it become a reality that the Texans would be trading back?
Yeah, probably like way before we probably were picking. So, I mean, we were kind of looking, let's say, in the upper teens there a little bit. You know, there were some opportunities. We could kind of move. All right, what are the teams going to do? So we were talking about it. It wasn't like wait until 25 and all of a sudden, like, I mean, at one point I think we had 3 or 4 trades, like, potentially on the board before we got to 25. And then when we got to 25, we still had a couple scenarios. Some teams were looking at some situations. So, you know, we took what we felt was the best offer and what the best decision for us was at that time. So we made the move.
He was ready to make some moves, you know, from move up. And, you know, obviously you always talk about, you know, stick and pick versus move up and move down. He was all of that. He was dealing with all of that a lot. Like, as we mentioned, he said he literally talked to the entire league, something along the lines of, I don't want to say the entire league, but the entire league. And you'll hear that. But it was something that they clearly saw happening, as we saw happening, as these linemen were leaving, et cetera.
I did find it interesting that he said that he, like, as early as the early teens, they started thinking about moving back. Which does make me think, you know who went in the early teens?
Yes.
Tyler Booker. Like, did he see Banks and Booker go and go, oh, okay, yeah, this is, yeah, I know how this might play out, mm-hmm, to the point where we need to be prepared to back out here. But, I mean, still, it's, now I will go back to, this is what Nick Caserio opened up with, mm-hmm, at the outset of this presser, with a little bit of optimism and hope, which you would expect in the process still. But, yeah, I was interested, considering, all things considered.
Yeah, we're in a good spot. Feel really good about where we are. We went into the day, I'd say, honestly, we had three different scenarios. Trade up, stay 25 pick, trade back. I mean, D'Amico and I have been talking about it basically for 2-3 days. Here are some different scenarios. Here are some possibilities. I don't want to say we talked to the whole league, but we probably talked to the whole league on every different level. So, you know, there are some players that we identified, some were out of reach. You know, some, you know, any end trades are a byproduct of teams willing to make a decision to move or not. So, you know, we fell at 25. You know, that was the best thing for us. Puts us in a pretty good spot. 2-2s, 3-3s, picked up another 3 next year. So, I mean, we'll deal with tomorrow. We think we're going to get some pretty good football players tomorrow. We felt like the value to draft was basically in the middle. So we'll try to take advantage of our opportunities here tomorrow. Put ourselves in a pretty good position next year as well. 1-2-2s, 2-3s, 2-4s. So, I mean, we've always talked about just creating as much flexibility and optionality for us as possible. And that's where we are. So, I mean, there's 2 more days of the draft that are left. We'll see how these next few days go. I'll try to, you know, make good, smart decisions tomorrow. Trust our process, trust our evaluations.
There you go.
And then once we get through the draft, kind of flip the page and kind of go to the next phase. So we're going to get good football players. D'Amico and I feel really good about tomorrow. You know, we'll kind of see what happens.
All right. So one thing that, you know, we were talking about as we were watching this post-draft press conference that doesn't come over in the audio is he did look – first of all, he was as candid as he'll ever get, even more so than most recently.
Right.
You know, and he's been – so he was very, very candid. He was kind of about as emotional as Nick Caserio will ever show outside of dropping an F-bomb.
Emotional.
About as outside of dropping an F-bomb here and there. But – he also kind of looked a little frustrated. I commented to you and Figgy about that. He just kind of looks like he had his chance, and that maybe that speaks to the two players that were gone in the early teens. You know, so maybe those were the two guys that they earmarked, and just it didn't happen.
What do you think he was frustrated about?
That,
like, well, I think it's more not having a dance partner.
Well, that too, but yeah. I think they identified a couple of players, and he said in the early teens, as you talked about, and I think he's like, well, okay, now we got to adjust.
I wonder what, like, specifically what he was frustrated about. Like, was it teams saying, hey, I need a first round pick?
Not getting the deal that
I need a first and a second. Yeah. Was it the price of the brick? Mm-hmm. Was he frustrated about?
Yes.
Because to me, I think that's why he ain't pull the trigger. He's like, man, I'm not paying this.
Yeah.
That, and I imagine somebody said on the text line, Nick sounds a little defensive, and I imagine he was a little pre-defensive about, mm-hmm, you know, he knew that there was a lot of excitement about this particular first-round pick. You haven't had a lot of those in the recent history, mm-hmm, of the draft for this team. And so there's a lot of people looking at it, and he knew that there was a few people that were darlings, players that were darlings of the fan base, and that we were going to come in with the level of questions as to why they didn't get any of those guys, especially with the understanding that we know that he typically trades up. And it seems like he wanted to let us know, hey, it's not me. I was looking.
I tried.
But, you know.
And that was, like, the frustration.
Y'all know the price of that brick?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, y'all wouldn't have did it either. Because I don't know how we would have felt if he gave up next year's first round pick.
I think it's like any human on the planet. You really wanted something. You thought you were going to get something, and you didn't get it. You know, and for whatever reason, whether it was the player was taken or the price was too high, and it was probably a combination of the two, and so he was like, well, damn it. Dang it. Now we got to change.
All right, so, it does feel like if you were to take him at his word, because I know some people aren't necessarily feeling him at his word, especially with Matthew Golden still being out there all the way to, what is that, 23?
Yeah.
When the Packers selected there. But if you are to take him as word, it does feel like that probably speaks to maybe offensive line, right, mm-hmm, and how that run started happening. And obviously they have a certain level of intel calling all these teams or what have you. Then where does that put you on the other offensive linemen that were there that probably could have been selected when it comes to Josh Connerly or Josh Simmons that were taken after? And also, Nick Caseria, at one point in this, he also let loose entirely unprompted that one of the players that they would have felt comfortable taking at 25 is still out there as we enter into day two. Like how are you? Oh, we actually have the audio of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to hear that again. But like, how do you feel about the idea that there were still some linemen out there, particularly Connerly and Simmons, that they decided and they opted, no, we'd rather just move back and get more capital into this space, maybe is in the next bucket of players.
I think it's the classic Nick Caserio cost value management. I'm not saying he did. He didn't think Connerly and Simmons, who were taken after, they were on the board at 25. He could have stayed and gotten either one of those, but that wasn't the player they identified. This is what he said.
Good question. Actually, one of the players that we were talking about is actually still on the board. Yeah, so it's a good question. So whether or not we actually pick the player, like, we'll see if that actually happens.
I was shocked when he said that.
I was shocked. Now, he never does something like that. So they got pick 34 now. They have pick 34.
Do you think they're going to move up at some point?
To 33?
Yeah. Well, to the one pick that's in front of them?
If they, I mean, you know, I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if the Browns was looking at somebody that they wanted.
If there's one dude left, and he said it, that they identified. And they
let's
said,
make sure we get this
let's
guy.
Get him. Let's get him.
Because if the Browns take the person they was thinking about.
Then there we go again.
That's already bad day too.
Yeah.
Who is there a player that popped in your mind on possibilities of who he was talking about there? Like, who popped into your mind when he said that one of those guys that they were willing to take at 25 still exists on the board?
Man, I've tried and I've tried.
I have no clue.
I've been looking. Did someone come into your?
I mean, one of the ones that people were talking about was like Luther Burden, which is very interesting because Burden is, I've kind of had him in my brain. I've seen him described, is probably the better way of saying it, as kind of Debo Samuel. Like, he's a lot of catching the ball in the backfield and yak and things of that nature. And I'm interested. I don't necessarily know if that's how this offense will work, although I don't know how this offense will work just in general, but that feels like that is a very particular skill set that you are working to fit, which you have a game plan offense that you're planning to get out here. I understand that, but that wouldn't that seem almost like you would do that more with Bobby Slowick at the helm, assuming the San Francisco tie compared to Nick Haley with more of the Rams tie, even though those are still kind of similar trees. Wouldn't you think that would be the way that it goes? Although Luther Burden, talented player, what have you?
Yeah, look, I'm wondering if we're kind of pigeonholing offensive lineman and receiver here. I'm wondering if the player that they really thought was the player that they could, one of the players they could take at 25, isn't even a lineman or a receiver.
You think it was that running back for North Carolina?
They brought
Carolina?
In Caleb Johnson, Travion, the kid from Ohio.
Travion Henderson.
Henderson is still there. That's a high place to take a running back, but two running backs were taken in the first round. And so of the linemen, I think the highest rated, USA Today did like a top 100 prospects. Yeah. The highest rated one left is rated 61. And so 61 is not some, you know, unless they value him higher, and you never know, but that's pretty high to take that an offensive lineman there that's ranked 61. Yeah.
Maybe the people they was trying to get is already gone, and the reason why they traded out of that 25th pick is the person they really wanted is really a second rounder type of pick. So it didn't make no sense to reach for that person.
Sure.
I see some folks saying that they like Higgins maybe more than Burden. Jaden Higgins, the Iowa State first rounder, really big. Really big kind of receiver, has that kind of size and that physicality. Well, I think we'll dig more into some of these players that are available. Someone's like Nick Emmanuel, the safety. Man, drafting a safety on this team.
Another safety?
We would definitely get into a weird place. We'll talk more about the players that you still want to see as we continue. But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That is a good point, right? Some other reporting. Bobby Belt up there in Dallas did say that the Texans tried to move to 12, but Dallas actually wanted picks this year, not future pick. So maybe
Bastards.
It seems like they, which is interesting because he has a large allotment that I would feel like you could dig into for this draft. But I guess some people are in a Nick we trust. There's a lot of picks that are available to move around. We'll continue to talk about what it could look like moving forward for this Texans team, as they still have all of their 2025 NFL draft picks ahead of them here, going on tonight and tomorrow. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. We've talked about the frustration that a lot of people felt on day one. How do you typically rationalize when you don't get your way? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next. All right, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, getting ready for rounds 2 through 4, day 2 of the NFL draft. After day 1, the Texans trade out from 25. They do acquire the 34th pick, which is where they'll next select. They'll be the second selection today. But yeah, man, things didn't necessarily fall the way the Texans wanted. Obviously, a lot of the guys that we had kind of linked them to, that they had been linked to and that we discussed, went, right? Tyler mm-hmm. Booker went to the Cowboys. Kelvin Banks Jr. went to the Saints. You had Emeka Egbuka going to the Buccaneers,
yeah,
of all teams, mm-hmm. Which
they kind of loaded now.
That
man.
Does make me wonder, like, is that some level, and it might have been John Harris or someone that mentioned this on the broadcast last night, that does that necessarily say something about Chris Godwin and maybe potential injuries there, right? Mm-hmm. Is that giving us a little bit of insight there? Mm-hmm. But then also the one that was very frustrating, seeing Matthew Golden get up there.
That hurt, man.
And the walk-up for him was also very interesting. And by the way, the question of the day is, when things don't go your way, how do you rationalize it? 713-572-4610. But I will say, maybe this is how I was rationalizing it. Like, he clearly don't want to be there. Right now, obviously, he
you
does.
You were saying
he,
it.
He wants to be drafted. He wants to be, you know, in the NFL. This is what he worked for. He's going to go and take this opportunity and run with it, certainly. But the man is from Houston, Texans. The man also...
He is a Texas boy.
He is a Texas boy. One of the things that was cool that the NFL draft did was the guys that were actually in Green Bay, in the green room, mm-hmm. were going to be on that stage. They got to pick their walkout music.
Yeah.
And, buddy, if Matthew Golden didn't choose the most "I am trying to will Houston Texans into my future" song of all time, International Players Anthem, which is Outkast and UGK, of course. Shout out to Houston's own, or I guess really Porte. When you talk about Bun B, you talk about Pimp C. And I'm like, that is so Houston. And of course, he's still going to be Houston. He's going to carry H-Town wherever you go, obviously Green Bay and whatever. But it felt like you could see it in his face where he was, I don't know that he was like jubilant, like, because we saw jubilation yesterday. We saw Tyler Booker up there jumping up and down like a kid.
He got better once he got on stage.
He did. He gave him the give me a Green Bay on three, which I was like, you could have gone go Pack go, brother. But in that moment, I was like, and I think I was trying to rationalize. I was like, damn, even he wanted to go to the Texans in that moment.
You're rationalizing. I often go the route of, I know it's silly. I know it's oftentimes not true, although some people very much subscribe to this, so I'm not passing judgment. You know, everything happens for a reason. I'm the everything happens for a reason guy, even though it kind of hurts inside. And then, you know, however you want to rationalize it, 713-572-4610, you know, with clear frustrating night, very frustrating night. If you think it was frustrating in the moment, I think you're lying to yourself. But that doesn't mean that the things are done. But yeah, I'm that guy. Well, maybe it happened for a reason. Maybe this 34th pick is going to be, or the 59th or whatever, is going to be some, you know, Pro Bowl. Actually, Nick Caserio, I think it was Nick Caserio last night, was talking about, hey, Henry Toa, we didn't know he was going to lead the team in tackles. You know, something like,
there's other options. Yeah, there's other fish in the sea.
You got other toys.
Yeah. There are other
you got other toys you can play with.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. There are other fish in the sea, mm-hmm. especially ones that have like that have a good amount of upside. There's this. The draft did kind of situate in such a way where there's a lot of talented players in these spaces in the second and third round that'll be available to you. Somebody said, was it me or did Golden not look happy when Green? Yeah, that's what I was speaking to. 100%.
No, he did not look happy.
Yeah.
Somebody said when the guys that they had on their own wish list started getting picked. Then the Texas trade out of round one, they just thought, well, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Wait, somebody dropped that on. A listener came up to me, and he had the whole thing planned and said, what do you think about the draft? How do you do that? And he goes, well, you know, it is what it is. The other way that I rationalize things in sports, it's kind of like an offshoot of a girl that you're interested in, and she's not interested in you, and you kind of go, you know, she's really not that hot anymore. She's really not that hot.
Did you do that with any of these picks?
I I didn't do it with the ones that I really wanted, but some of them I'm like, yeah, he's not that good. Anyway, he's not that good.
I think that probably hit me to some degree with, and I think somebody asked us on the text line about the Connerly and
Simmons. Yes.
I think Simmons, I was easy. I very much went there where I was like, I don't know that I really necessarily.
He's not that
good. Or not even that I didn't want him per se, because he is a talented player. Yeah. Everybody who watches the tape goes, oh man, he would be like the best of these guys. But the concerns that he had feel like they are the exact concerns that this Texans team would look at and go, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Which is the patellar tendon injury that he's dealing with, that at least in football, we have not had very much data of someone coming back from that particular injury and performing to a high degree. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you're talking about a first round pick where you have a certain expectation of them to be like starter caliber and then also be sometimes even better than that, that's a little question. There's a little bit of question mark on that. And then on top of it, the idea that there might be some character concerns, nebulous character concerns that I, you know, I want to make sure that I put them in that way where I understand that I can't substantiate these things. So I want to be careful. However, they has been talked about in such a way.
Yeah.
We keep mentioning the swarm mentality and leadership traits and those types of things. And looking in the face of that, I can go, I can see how Nick Caserio would go, not on our board, buddy.
Yeah.
Not on ours.
And another one that I do a lot, and it's actually turned into a meme just in culture in general, when you go, it's fine. I'm fine. It'll be fine, you know. Fine.
Did you rationalize it all? And you'll understand exactly why I'm asking this immediately after what you just said. Well, they did get starting caliber freight. Like, did you lean on? Well, this is what free agency for, and this is why you paper over all these things.
That's part of it. But when you step back, you realize you're just rationalizing. We don't want fine. We didn't want fine. We want really good. It's fine. It's fine.
It did make me think, especially, and look, again, there's still guys in the day two picks that really have an opportunity, not just get in there and be solid, but be starters. Tate Ratledge out of Georgia, second round grade. He looks like he has an opportunity to do some good things. And also on top of that, if you wanted to get an offensive line that was capable of running the football, he's actually probably stronger at run blocking. There's Jonah Savanea. I'm sure I'm saying that incorrectly. I did not check the pronunciation. Apologies to him and his family. But out of Arizona, he's a second-round grade. He's a solid guard talent. And then, I mean, there's still some guards that you can even get into the third round and into the later parts of day two that seem like they could be starting caliber players, because that's where this draft is pretty solid. So is that there's more fish in the sea or what have you? But
it is.
I do think that you still have opportunities to get that.
You do. You absolutely do. And we'll get into that again some more for sure today. But the other thing about rationalizing things after you get them is you really have no choice. I mean, like, that's the other part. You're just like, well,
oh, what are we gonna? What am I gonna do? Cry?
Yeah. What am I gonna do?
See, well, do you ever rationalize that way where you're just like, whatever, man, we're in it now.
Yeah.
We're here.
See, that's where the phrase "it is what it is."
It is what it is. We are.
That's what it means.
No, it does not.
Nothing you could do about it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. You can't change it.
That's how it plays out.
You just have to live in this world. We're in it now.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, Nick Caserio.
No, it's not.
It is what it is. Somebody said, only thing I'm tripping on is the Rams got a first rounder for their pick very interesting trades. Let's talk about that, actually. Let me make sure I get some more folks in here on the way that they rationalize. Somebody said they rationalize it. We're just like, God got me. Like, hey, man, God got me ultimately, right? Yeah. If we're just getting to that point where if God want me to win, I'm going to win, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then some other people that have talked about the Texans don't have a strong history of picking guards in the draft. Well, I don't know.
And I've seen a lot of this type of rationalization where you just get angry. We've seen a lot of it today on the text board, on YouTube, on Twitch already. It's like, well, there go the Texans again. Can't, you know, what did they say about Nick Caserio earlier? Somebody was texting like he doesn't know how to evaluate
line. Evaluate offensive
so
players.
He's not good at it anyway. You know?
So, yeah, that's why you do it in the second round.
Yeah.
Either way, like they will have to address the things that they want to address. I was going to say needs, but that's something that they said they're not going to do specifically that way. Obviously, it feels like an offensive lineman is in the offing. It feels like wide receiver probably in the offing. Maybe a running back? Could it be Travion Henderson? I got a text about that. Like, could it be Travion Henderson?
Am I going to get my running back?
He was selected as a captain or what have you. When I say could it be the guy that they would have been comfortable taking at 25? Because There was like talks of three running backs going, Travion Henderson, maybe one of those.
So I brought it up last segment. I mean, am I going to get my running back?
Somebody said, embrace the suck. Okay, all right.
There you go.
I don't like that. I don't like that level of rationalization. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Let's talk about some of the other things that were happening, including the trades. Why didn't the Texans get more for that trade? We'll talk about that more next.